This podcast contains descriptions of violence against children and adult language and is not suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised. Everyone, and welcome to Suffer the Little Children, the true crime podcast giving voices back to the victims of child abuse and shining a harsh spotlight on the parents, guardians, and caretakers who silence them. I'm your host, and this is minisode number 2, Amare's Life Mattered. In this minisode, you'll hear my conversation with Rodney Boone, the father of 3-year-old Amare Boone. Rodney, along with members of grassroots advocacy groups, are demanding justice for Amare, especially after the men accused of causing his death were finally charged, arrested, and subsequently released from jail after making bond on their pathetically inadequate charges. In episode 12 of this podcast, I told you Amare's story. 3-year-old Amare Boone was a ward of the state of Texas and in the care of family friends Dion Foley and Joseph Delancey Jr. when, on April 10, 2020, he was rushed to the emergency room at Cook Children's Hospital in Fort Worth with severe head trauma. Medical staff immediately suspected child abuse and contacted the Fort Worth Police Department. 2 days after Amare was admitted to the hospital in a coma, he was declared brain dead, and he was removed from life support at 1:19 a.m. on Easter Sunday. This sweet little boy, who was born on June 9, 2016, to Ariana George and Rodney Boone, was a bright spirit, a tiny child with a huge personality, whose favorite things were snacks and the TV show PJ Masks. Amare and his little brother were removed from their parents' custody in 2018 after his mother lost her job and the couple became homeless. CPS reports mentioned an unstable home life and marijuana use. The boys were shuffled from caregiver to caregiver, including family members, but in early 2020, they were placed in the home of Deondrick Foley, a longtime co-worker of their father, and Dion's partner, Joseph Delancey II. CPS conducted background checks and performed home visits before the boys' placement, and Ariana and Rodney were comfortable with their children being cared for by Dion and Joseph, who genuinely seemed to love children. Initially, the boys adjusted well to the Foley-Delancey home. Before long, however, during visitation, Ariana and Rodney noticed that Amare sported fresh bruises, swollen eyes, and a swollen lip. Ariana photographed these injuries and sent them to the CPS caseworker, as well as her supervisor and the boy's guardian ad litem. After seeing Amare's injuries, Rodney was hesitant to return him, but CPS threatened legal action against the parents if they didn't, so they were forced to take Amare back to Dion and Joseph's home. When Amare's injuries were evaluated at Cook Children's, although a report noted that the bruises were concerning, the boys were not removed from the home. A month later, Amare was fatally injured. For 9 long months, Amare's family has waited for justice. Initially, a few news stations covered Amare's death, but before long, the coverage stopped. Since the beginning, grassroots advocates have pushed for justice for Amare. Members of the volunteer group Light for the Missing and of the Fort Worth chapter of the Brotherhood Movement have attempted repeatedly to contact the Fort Worth Police Department and Tarrant County Assistant District Attorney Bill Vassar. Police were not willing to speak with the groups, directing them to contact the DA, who has accepted many of the calls, but has provided very few answers. At various times, Vassar said he had an incomplete report from the medical examiner, he was waiting for the police to provide him with enough evidence, etc. The groups contacted local news outlets who seemed interested initially and even set up interviews, but the stories were never run, as the editors refused to give the reporters permission to publish them. Julie Ingram of NBC New York was the only reporter who ever released an article beyond the initial coverage. Many news outlets ignored the requests or outright refused to cover the story. A petition on change.org continues to circulate demanding justice for Amare and has, to date, gathered almost 330,000 signatures. Brother Malik of the Brotherhood Movement attended a city council meeting in June, planning to bring a poster and a copy of the hefty petition, but he was not allowed to bring the items into the meeting. Nevertheless, he gave a powerful speech in front of the city council that day.
I was stripped of my demonstration, which is a violation of my constitutional rights, to show you how many people I got in petition behind Amari Boone. How in the world can you charge 50 people, 6 weeks this baby been dead, and you will not arrest these gentlemen who killed this baby? Mr. Krause, 50. It didn't take you that long to put these 50 people that shouldn't be locked up. But that Friday, Good Friday, and Ms. Bivens, I hope you're looking at me because this happened in your district. 3 years old, these two gentlemen that was left in this care, foster care, this baby been dead. 6 weeks, Mr. Krause, no arrest. Mr. Vasta told you to dot your I's and cross your T's. It's a format for that report. I want my report and get these dudes off the street, man. This don't make no sense, but it didn't take you that long to come down with 50 charges. They had a fundamental right to be on that bridge that taxpayers paid for. You can't prohibit the right to travel. Here's the page. Black Law, 4th edition, page 864. The right to assemble is your First Amendment right. Write it down, bro. You took the oath on it. What is taking you so long to get these guys arrested, Mr. Krause? What did it take you that long to arrest these people on that bridge that did practically nothing? Come on, we got to do better. And we have demands. I got 150,000 in petition. Change.org.
The same day, family, friends, and supporters of Amari amassed outside the courthouse, peacefully protesting the lack of forward motion in the case.
Justice for Amari!
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 In June, Bill Vassar told the Light for the Missing Volunteers that he was actively working Amari's case to pursue a capital murder charge, and he asked for the groups and the public to remain patient. Although the volunteers from both groups stayed in touch with the DA's office, we have remained patient as requested, right up till Friday, January 22, 2021, when, at long last, we received word that the men acting as Amari's foster fathers, 36-year-old Deondrick Ramon Foley and 29-year-old Joseph Michael Delancey II, were finally arrested. That would have been excellent news, except for the charges themselves. Initially, Dion was charged with 7 counts of injury to a child with intent, and each count carried a bond of $15,000. Joseph faced a single charge of injury to a child with intent, with a bond of $5,000. A day later, Joseph's charge was modified to a single count of injury to a child by omission, resulting in serious bodily injury, and his bond was increased to $15,000. Dion's 7 counts of injury to a child with intent were changed to 7 counts of injury to a child with bodily injury, and his bond remained the same. On January 25th, Joseph Delancey made bond and was released from the Tarrant County Jail. On January 26th, Dion's 7 charges were dropped to a single charge, and on the morning of January 27th, he too bonded out of jail. Both men have family and other ties in multiple states outside of Texas. In many cases, that would make them considered a flight risk. Apparently not in this one. The charges that allowed these men to post bond and walk free from jail are pathetically inadequate. Amari was not merely injured. This child died, brutally, of blunt force trauma to the head. The injuries discovered during his autopsy included several broken fingers, 2 broken arms, several fractured ribs, a fractured pelvis, multiple bruises, and severe bleeding in his brain. That goes far beyond injury to a child. The DA's office told us they were pursuing capital murder charges. Amari's death was undoubtedly a murder, and those responsible need to be charged as such. We will not rest until there is justice for Amari. Amari's life mattered. I was honored to speak with Amari's father, Rodney Boone, today for this minisode. Today, I'm speaking with Rodney Boone, who is the father of Amari Boone. Hi, Rodney. Thanks very much for joining me. Can you start off by telling us a little bit about Amari and what he was like?
Yes, ma'am. Like I said, my son, he was very smart, beautiful young man. He made everyone smile. He came around, he always smiled and played. He was growing up really fast. He was very intelligent for a 3-year-old. I'll tell you that much. You know, he was, like I say, very playful. He loved his PJ Masks cartoons. You know, yeah, that's the main thing I can remember, you know, about him was, you know, he just loved to, like I say, watch his cartoons and eat mainly.
Yeah. He was really good at chilling and snacking, I've heard.
Most definitely.
And he liked playing with his little brother.
Most definitely, he loved playing with his little brother. I mean, from the moment his little brother was born, he kind of stepped up and started, like, beating him sometimes, actually.
Oh, so cute.
So he's a really smart kid for his age. He was pretty potty trained. He was mentally talented for his age, I say.
That's awesome. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what Amari meant to you?
I mean, well, words can't explain it. I mean, he meant the world. You know, he meant everything. That was my twin, everybody said. You know, he understood me. You know, the most I understood him is like, we had the connection, that bond. And, you know, I think the world as well as those guys, you know, knew how much he meant to me. And, you know, they just sort of took him.
Yeah. They sure did. So when Amari and his brother went to live with these two, you trusted them. You were friends with them.
Dion, I was friends with. I didn't too much know the other. Like, yeah, I did trust Dion for sure. Because like I said, we've worked together for multiple years. You know, like I said, I had trusted him. Even not only just me, but everyone who's worked with him. As far as managers, employees, you know, they all, you know, had trust in him. They didn't see him like that, him doing it. Yeah. So everyone was pretty much blinded, you know.
I can imagine. Yeah. And then you guys started seeing injuries on Amari and photographing them. And what was CPS's response to those photos?
Whenever we start noticing these injuries, we start reporting them. And eventually, you know, when we got our hands on our son, when they had let us grab him for a little while, Dion, you know, I kind of refused to take him back. I was refusing. CPS basically threatened my caseworker, Sheila Robinson. She basically threatened to call the police on me.
Wow.
If I didn't take them back to the home. So.
And she saw the injuries by then.
Yes, ma'am. She did. We sent them to her.
So how has the investigation been going? It's been slow. I know that much.
It's slow and horrible, honestly, from our point of view. It just seems like they don't care. They're not applying enough pressure. They, you know what I mean? And yeah. I can only see that, you know, dealing with, like I said, me and my family, you know, we're not very rich. We don't have lawyers. We don't have a lot of money. So it seems like they're kind of just brushing it under the rug, you know, getting it out the way as quickly as possible.
I know they interviewed you guys at the very beginning, but have you heard at all from any news station since then?
Yes, I've recently got in contact with Channel 8 News, and they were supposed to be giving me a call back today. And I was told that Channel 5 was going to follow up on it. They were the ones who, you know, interviewed us in the first place, Channel 5. I was told that they were going to follow up on the situation, that they had spoke to the DA already.
How did you react or how did you feel when you heard on Friday that Dion and Joseph were arrested?
I had a sense of relief, but then again, there was always that feeling in the back of my head when I seen what they were arrested for that, you know, this is not enough. I was already knowing before they even started getting released from jail that they were going to be out of jail. So, you know, I knew that was inevitable, you know, based on what they were, you know, arrested for. So.
The fact that they were given a bond at all.
Right. That was already in my head as a possibility.
Right.
So I was already making plans to, you know, get something else done.
Good. Yeah, I know you've been fighting for justice for Amari since the whole thing happened. And the injury to a child charges are confusing. It's clear that Amari was more than injured. He is no longer with us. That's
right.
Just murder.
It's a pretty hurtful thing that, no, like I said, the justice system isn't taking this as serious as they should when if it was one of their children, you know, beaten senselessly, and you know, they wouldn't feel the same. Like, they'll feel different about it if it was one of their children.
Exactly. So what would justice look like to you?
Justice would definitely like nothing less than capital murder. You know, I mean, this was a very hateful crime for, you know, two adult men to do to a 3-year-old. And then the sweet, innocent 3-year-old, you know, he never did anything wrong.
No, there's nothing a 3-year-old could ever do to warrant being beaten in the head and his pelvis broken and fingers and ribs. It's just unthinkable how that could be considered punishment by a grown man against a tiny little boy.
Right.
And how has it all affected you, losing Amari and then having to wait like this for justice that just doesn't seem to want to come?
Like I said, ever since it happened, since then I've been having, you know, tough trouble sleeping, you know, and I mean, I toss and turn for a while before I even, you know, get to go to sleep. And then I do go to sleep, I still wake up through the night, you know, having terrible nightmares and dreams. So I definitely haven't been able to sleep well at all since it happened. I'm always, you know, I think about it through the day often. You know, it hasn't stopped. And I don't see it stopping anytime soon.
Yeah, I can imagine that's haunting. Do you get to see your younger son at all?
Yeah, they do have a visit set up for us to see him.
Oh, good, good, good. How's he doing?
He's doing pretty good. Yeah, he's very active. I mean, he got a lot of energy. Like I said, he's starting to look more and more like his brother, you know, as time goes on.
Oh, that's cute. Do you want to kind of wrap it up by telling me maybe a couple of your favorite memories about Amari?
Say, my favorite memory is just me personally spending time with him and my other son. I just enjoy, you know, every time I see him, they ask me for a snack or something, something to drink, and, you know, I give it to him. You know, he would definitely spoil you when it came to me. I gave him, you know, pretty much everything he wanted. and he used to love, we used to sit down and lay down sometimes and watch PJ Maxx together. And, you know, he eat his snacks and, you know, he'd be sitting, he'd talk to me sometimes, but, you know, mainly, like I said, he was, you know, infatuated with his cartoon. But, you know, that's really the main memory I miss about him. I miss hearing his voice. He was for a 3-year-old, you know, he was really understanding and he could comprehend really well. So I sit down and have a lot of talks with him. You know, he'll kind of talk back to me and like, yes, no, okay. You know, like mainly his voice I miss.
He had a great laugh.
Yes, the laugh, his smile. It's just pretty much irreplaceable.
Fact. Yeah, I can imagine that little face. I can't see you being able to say no to him.
Yeah, I couldn't say no. He's so adorable.
Rodney will not rest until his son gets justice, and neither will any of us who have advocated for justice for Amari since his death. Use the hashtag Amari's Life Mattered. That's it for this minisode. Tune in next Wednesday for my next full episode. If you like the show, please leave me a 5-star rating and a positive review on your favorite podcast platform. And please subscribe to Suffer the Little Children on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast listening app. Email tips, comments, questions, or case suggestions to sufferthelittlechildren.pod@gmail.com. You can also subscribe on YouTube by searching Suffer the Little Children Podcast. Visit the website at www.sufferthelittlechildrenpod.com, where you can listen to episodes and become a patron for rewards ranging from a shout-out by name on the show to exclusive gifts. Follow the podcast on Facebook, Instagram, Tumblr, and Pinterest at Suffer the Little Children Pod, and on Twitter at STLCPod. View photos related to today's case on Facebook and Instagram. Read more about today's case and many others at sufferthelittlechildrenblog.com. This podcast was written, hosted, edited, and produced by Lane. Intro theme music is by Dream Note Music. Other music and sound effects for the show were created using sounds from audiojungle.net. Hug your babies a bit closer tonight. Until next week, bye guys.